score!
Straight down the middle.
This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the first tee at the Square Country Club for the 8:03 tee time. This is what I'm going to do. From Queens, New York, Matthew Lawrence. Okay. The reason I did that is if you've been following along, Steph Curry played in his first professional event. It was on the web.com tour. If you're a golf fan, you know this. He got a sponsor's exemption to play, and a lot of people were upset. He said he's taking a spot from somebody who may be trying to earn a living at golf. Well, there's more, bigger things here at play. First of all, Thursday, when he stepped to that first tee, they were lined up five deep down the fairway. Tiger kind of stuff, to see a web.com event. The exposure that the web.com tour got from having Steph Curry in this tournament is you can't put a price tag on it. Not only that, think about this for a minute. How many young kids, young teenagers, are huge Stephen Curry fans? Huge. What did they do? They saw him playing golf. They're going to go, you know what? If Steph does it, maybe I should do it. So that he's going to introduce people to the game. And oh, by the way, somebody that's never played in a competitive tournament like the web.com tour gets up and shoots four over on his first day was incredible. Absolutely incredible. We'll talk more about that on the show as we go along. The PGA Tour, golf this weekend is fantastic. Two championships. The Ricoh Women's British Open is this week. And I get choked up. Excuse me. The WGC champion Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone. Here's the deal. Two out of the last 3 weeks, tournaments have been played at two incredible golf courses. Of course, the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. And this week, Bridgestone, which is at Firestone Country Club outside of Akron. Two out of the last 3 weeks, courses that I have played. How about that, Sean? I know what I am. I'm incredibly blessed. But for me to be watching this weekend, Firestone, is awesome because even though I've only played it once, and thanks again to the big guy around here, Lynn Martin, who took me up to play there. I know what that golf course looks like. All right, coming up, our buddy Dan Houser and an incredible teacher, Tom Patry, along with the great Perry French. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Srixon Cleveland Golf.
Okay. I'm always excited when Perry French. I haven't sung for a couple of weeks with your name.
No, I missed that.
I know. I apologize. Last week, I was so excited you were back with me. Now I'm back into it. Okay. We spend, for most interview shows, most people don't get 12 or 13 minutes to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We always spend a good amount of time, and it's never enough because we always have so much to talk about. This week, we're going to talk about the short game again, which I always love. But you brought in these balls today. I want to talk to you about these Srixon balls.
Mm-hmm.
These are Q-Star Tours.
Right.
Here's what it says. Ultra soft feel, urethane cover, three-piece ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, of course, we know Srixon golf balls have spin skin technology.
Yes,
we know that.
Yes, yeah. This is our trademark. Yeah.
Yes, it is. But you explain to me why this ball is so good, and I want everybody listening, because this is really good stuff. Right. Okay, go.
Yeah, so first of all, the golf ball is the only piece of equipment that's used in every shot. So it does put itself at the head of the class as to probably the most important piece of equipment.
It's another thing I've never even thought about. Right. Yeah, it's the only thing. All right.
And so when you come to choosing a golf ball, a lot of different factors come in, and certainly marketing being one of them. But the technology piece of the puzzle has really moved to the forefront, and trying to find the right golf ball for the player.
For your
base.
Swing.
We talked about technology in last swing, the TrackMan devices, and all the launch monitor devices that have been used in testing is now into the actual consumer use, where they can validate and see the measured improvement using product A versus product B.
Right.
And so at Srixon, we make golf balls for multiple player levels. There's no one golf ball that fits everything. The world of golf and technology has a little bit of a trade-off. You know, if your speed's not high enough to use a urethane golf ball, well, you give up some distance, but you get the spin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's been going on. And our friends at another company have done just that, telling it's the one ball for you and everybody should be playing that one ball.
Right.
And it's a great golf ball.
Yeah.
And it fits a lot of players' needs. But what happens is, when you're trying to maximize or optimize, players get a golf ball that probably has too high a compression for their swing speed. And this is driver swing speed, which is the most effective way to measure it.
Because
it's the longest.
But this is key. So everybody listen to this.
So compression, we used to be back with wound balls. It was the windings of that. Well, compression is still very important in the core design and how the cores, either we talk about low compression, softer cores. Softer cores allow the golf ball to be faster for slower clubhead speed players and launch easier and spin less.
Most amateurs.
Right.
Okay.
These are players who typically drive the golf ball between 185 and 215 to 20 yards in the air.
Right.
That's 80 mile an hour clubhead speed on the low end and a 95er on the high end. This is about 65% of the golfing public. So what happens is they choose a golf ball because it spins and it's marketed and everybody's playing it. It's a great ball. It's very expensive, and you only get a benefit of it in really one area, and that's a chipping and pitching and maybe putting.
Mm-hmm.
What you're giving up across the tee box all the way to the green is distance and spin and lack of control because it has too high a compression. You must take a golf ball matched to compression to the swing speed.
To your swing speed.
This tour golf ball, this Q-Star Tour, the word tour is because it has a tour cover, urethane blended urethane cover, but it has a 70 compression, which puts it in the category of mid to low compression to fit most players who are seeking to hit the golf ball with control off the tee and maximizing their distance and have that performance around the green and spin control into the green. This is where this ball differentiates from our Z-Star, which is an 88 compression, and our XV, which is a 98 compression.
Right. The those are the speed high-end, really good
players. They have the same exact cover.
Right.
Blend a urethane three-piece and a urethane four-piece design, but in the same dimple pattern and the same spin skin. But they don't have the compression to match that player. If a high-speed player hits a low-compression golf ball, what's it going to do? It's going to float. It's going to get up too fast and launch too high and not maximize their speed. So it works on the other end of the coin, too. Wrong compression for a player with high speed. A lot of people say, I spin the ball too much. Well, that's typically because you're using a golf ball that's probably too low in compression relative to your speed and how you hit the golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
So key thing for players, find a golf ball that matches your driver swing speeds. Most places you go to buy golf balls, you can help. And just if you tell somebody, I normally carry the ball 200 yards, that's going to give that person a good idea of where you need
to go. If they're good, they should be able to say, this is what you need.
They're all in that category. So look for that. It's a great golf ball. It's $30 a dozen.
I was just going to say, there's something else that's important. $30 a dozen.
Retail, yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to play later. I can't wait to hit this golf ball.
It gives you everything. And what we found is that it's definitely, people have put it in play and knows that it's a great ball for their specifics.
Before we move on, I just want to say this. I remember all of a sudden when, you know, we played golf for years and years and years, and you bought this ball or you bought the, nobody knew about compression or any of that stuff. But all of a sudden people start, and I remember the first time somebody said to me, have you heard about this lady? And I went, what?
Lady
Precept. I said, what? They said, these balls are unbelievable because something about they have lower compression and it's better for us because our swing is slower. And I remember the first, actually, none of us would buy it.
No, egos.
Yeah, we wouldn't buy it. But if somebody, maybe a sleeve in the pro shop, you'd sneak in there and grab it.
If you found one.
And it actually was like, whoa, this ball's, wait a minute. This is pretty good. So now this has come full circle.
Yeah, you're talking about the late 90s, early 2000s. Right. In fact, I even mentioned a competitor's name. It was Bridgestone that came out with the ball. It was a ball they just made for the lady golfers.
Right.
It was truly a dumbfounded thing. It wasn't planned. But they ended up changing the name and introducing another golf ball called the Laddie to give
that
it to the guy.
Exactly right.
So it's a perfect. That's when it started to be a really dynamic part of the trade in golf ball design to fit players. And when a lot of good players, not that they were golf balls that were lower compression and not as good cover were designed for, you know, as good a player.
Right.
This is where good players are saying, wow, this ball's longer for me.
Yeah.
Why? Maximizing, optimizing compression and spin. Wow. Things that we knew in the testing piece, but never really put that golf ball into that player's hands or on the tee.
And now,
now we do. It's great stuff.
On
lots of great choices. The soft field, great choice for players. Yeah. So fun
Lady
stuff.
And Laddie ball. Wow.
Flashback.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Instruction.
I need it. I'm playing
proof
today.
Your pitching.
Fat proof your pitching.
Yeah, stop duffing the short shots. Boy, this is something that just makes people go crazy when they're playing. You know, you finally put the ball in the
position.
Have
you seen me go crazy when I chunk one?
It's the angst that occurs with most golfers as they get closer to the hole. It'd be like a 5 foot putt.
Is
a lot more challenging or stressful than the 20 foot putt for whatever reason. No, it's for the obvious reason. It's the dynamic. This is expectations are higher. So when you come within that 20 to 50 to 80 yards of the green, your expectations at whatever level you play at, whether it's A, expectation to get on the green, B, hit it inside of 20 feet, or B, hit it in the hole, those are expectations that have to be dealt with in the way of performing the shot. So, what most players struggle with, and this is, I'm not going to really tell the player's handicap, because a 10 handicap can be a really good ball striker, but struggle here, or he could be a really poor ball striker and excel here. Yeah.
Right.
So, handicap is kind of out the window in this, and I said it's most about expectation, and also execution, of course. But right at the giddy up, the first thing is the bounce on the wedge. And we've talked about this thousands of times.
Yes, we have.
Players are using wedges with not enough bounce. Bounce equals forgiveness, folks. Get yourself a sand wedge 54, 56, 58 with at least 12 degrees of bounce. We opt for the Smart Sole for those who really struggle with this. That's got 18 degrees of effective bounce. It's a long trilling wedge.
Yes.
It allows that player to be just a little off, and the club just continues to slide through the turf conditions. The best players in the world still
use
about...
We're talking about Cleveland wedges.
Cleveland Smart Sole wedges, exactly.
Right.
But all wedges. If people use too low a bounce, they dig. They get in trouble. The margin for error becomes reduced. So more bounce. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Talk to your pro. Talk to your sales associate. Get a bounce 12 degrees minimum and 14 better. Yeah.
Okay.
Big swings. Players make the long swing and then they decel. That seems to be the trigger word. I think the word I like to use is that the swing stalls. And what happens with that is the key motion has to be continuing to rotate through into your finish. So if you swing it back to 9 o'clock, your left arm being level to the ground at 9 o'clock.
Parallel to the ground.
You swing through. You need to get through to 9 o'clock and continue that balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tempo piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Again, we mentioned tempo about the driver swing. Boy, that's important in all swings.
Right.
This is the thing you control. So golf ball's in the way. It's in the middle. Tempo from 9 to 3.
Right.
And practice delivering the club not fast, but in tempo.
Right.
Most players, the reason the decel is the terminology, is that they actually don't necessarily slow down the club. They actually increase the speed of the club. They throw it. That's the move. That's why the skull comes into play. That's why the fat comes into play. The reason the club bottoms out early is because you stop rotating to the left. It's pretty simple. Keep 60% of your weight in your left side to start. In a 50-50 setup for a driver, you're going to put 60 on the left side or your lead side. If you're a lefty, it's your right. But for most players, why? Keep it there. You have to swing through and around your left side to be successfully striking the golf ball consistent. Once you get comfortable consistently striking the ball. But if you're trying to shift weight in a short swing, there's not enough time.
Right.
So you got to hold that weight. Club goes back to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, you still have 60% of your weight in your left side. That's a key
thing. Got it. Okay.
All right. The main thing here is trying to keep yourself from decelerating. No, keep yourself accelerating.
Right.
That's the goal. Decelerating is not what happens. Stalling your rotation is what happens. You make up for it with a slap of the hands and a flip of the wrists and that's what happens.
Right.
That's the biggest drawback for hitting fat shots, hitting skinny shots. Okay. Weight to the left side, 60-40. Even if it's close to the green, I'd go 70-30.
Okay.
Especially if you're trying to hit a bump and run.
Right.
Keep your weight to the left side. Swing evenly.
Mm-hmm.
Swing with tempo that keeps the club moving through the shot into its finishing position, desired finishing position, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
Right.
And the key thing, the last one, the piece of puzzle, don't keep your head down. This is the biggest.
Wait, excuse me, what?
Don't keep your head down, duffer. Okay? Keeping your head down, tucking it, those are all negative, wrong. Your head should rotate through
with
the motion of the club into mm-hmm. the finish. Let it go. We've seen, to the exaggeration point, David Duval did that a lot. I mean, his head was moving. Annika. Those are the two best players that you can cite. But even the today's players, their head is moving through with the finish.
Right.
Do not keep your head down. You can play golf without seeing the golf ball.
Right.
Okay, it's not moving. Practice the swing. Practice maybe closing your eyes and just swing and letting the club strike the ground to feel the motion. When mm-hmm. you close your eyes and swing, your body senses the other senses come into play.
Right.
The club will strike the ground. That's the idea. Don't try to force the club into its impact. So,
wow. This is, wow. I'm so jazzed.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hit some shots. Yeah.
My new chipping style.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Have some fun.
You're the greatest, Perry. Thanks,
Matthew.
Man.
Thank you.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Whoa, boy. That's all I'm going to say because something is going on, and Dan Houser is not happy about it, and neither am I. And when the two of us get together, this could be, you might turn the volume down a little on your computers and your radios because Dan Houser is pretty upset. Dan Houser from LynxMagazine.com joining me now. I'm almost afraid to say hello. Hi, Dan.
Fire up the hot take machine, man. Let's do this.
Oh, boy. All right. So here's the situation. The web.com tour, as everybody, all our listeners probably, not all of them, but the ones interested in golf know, has a certain guy in the field this week named Steph Curry, who has another side job besides golf. And everybody they've been talking about this since he got the invitation to play, the exemption. And the great day comes on Thursday, and you cannot see it anywhere. It's not on TV. It's not streaming. It's not nowhere. What a disgrace this is. Okay, go.
I mean, all right. So Golf Channel, the web.com tour, all the tours, they've known about this for several weeks now because several weeks ago is when he accepted the invitation. So it's not like this happened yesterday and they had no time to scramble. I mean, I understand you've got the Women's British this week. You had two PGA Tour events this week because you have the WGC and the Barracuda, you know, cross event.
Mm-hmm.
You had the senior tour event in Minnesota. I get that. But I don't understand. I mean, on Thursday, they had to bump up tee times for the WGC event. So by the time it came on TV at 1:30, everyone was pretty much done for the day. But guess what? I still saw every shot hit because they streamed the entire round live on golfchannel.com. They streamed the whole thing. That's the key word. They streamed it. So it was still viewable to watch. You can't even stream this web.com tour event with Steph Curry playing in it. They're talking about, it's a web.com tour event. Usually their crowds are sparse, to put it nicely. I saw a video Thursday morning, first tee box, 5 deep, all the way down the fairway at a web.com tour event when Steph Curry stepped on the first tee box. Those are Tiger Woods-type crowds
yes.
at a web.com tour event. No one can see it. Now, I understand that, you know, Golf Channel's got to do their programming. Obviously, they had the Women's British on in the morning because of the time difference. Then they rolled right into the WGC, and then you roll into the Barracuda because it's in Reno, so that's live. And then they had the tape delay coverage at, I'm going to say, like 9 o'clock of the the senior tour event. But then after the senior tour event is over, you've got a replay of the first round of WGC. You're telling me that instead of showing Steph Curry's round, even if it's at 11 o'clock at night and it was, he shot his round 12 hours earlier, you can't at least show that? You're showing in this day and age of DVR and of Twitter and of streaming, who is watching a replay of the first round of the WGC? By that point in the night, everybody's already known what's happened, mm-hmm. and chances are they've already seen the video. So, yeah, I understand fine if you can't show it live, but if you put it on at 11 o'clock at night tonight, I guarantee you people are going to watch it because they didn't get to see it live, and they just want to see how he shoots. Will they sit there and watch the whole thing the whole night? No, but they'll turn in to watch a couple shots of his because I've seen some videos of shots of his, and he had some great approach shots. Now, he's been a little wild today, a little wobbly with the off the tee, but his short game, that's what everybody said he was going to thrive in. His short game has been absolutely fantastic. And the only reason I've even seen that is because there's been a couple guys on Twitter who are out there who have been showing videos. Oh, mm-hmm. and by the way, they got told by the PGA Tour to stop showing videos. Why? The PGA yeah. Tour and the Web.com Tour, they're not airing anything, so it's not like they're breaking any rules. So it's just somebody dropped the ball big time.
Yeah.
Because you hype this up as Steph Curry. Steph Curry's going to play in our event. And then there's no way for anybody to see it unless you're there.
All right. Take a breath. Calm down.
All right. I'm calm.
What are you doing? Are you walking? Are you raking leaves? What are you doing? Wind? Because there's a lot of noise.
We got a little bit of wind out here.
Okay.
But I've been trying to keep it, isolated.
Okay. All right. Sean shaking his head. Okay. That whole thing about the PGA Tour, and we're not even on, there's Periscope, there's all kinds of stuff, and as you said, they're not showing it. So why isn't, I guarantee you, if they put it on at 11 o'clock, people may not watch the whole 3 hours or whatever, but they'd have the biggest 11 o'clock numbers they've ever had for the Golf Channel, ever.
They'd have way better numbers than a replay of the first round of the WGC, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so how is he doing? I know it's funny because somebody was posting on Twitter when he teed off, and they showed, I guess it's some kind of sheet that talks about every shot that players have, and it said he was in the native area, and then his second shot on number one, and his third shot on number one was from the native area, but he made bogey, and then he made a couple of pars after that, and it seems like he was doing okay.
Yeah, so his tee shot actually landed in the cup holder of a golf cart, believe it or not, off the tee. So that was, I guess, native area for them. He was plus two at the turn. That was the last update I had received. I haven't had a chance to check in a little bit. But, I mean, if you think about it, you make the turn in two over. He's not a professional golfer. I mean, I understand that he's right around there as a scratch golfer. He fluctuates anywhere from a one handicap all the way to a plus one, mm-hmm. depending on the course and the time of year he's playing. So obviously he's got skill. He's a professional athlete, so he can handle the pressure. And, will he make the cut this week? I doubt it, but
right.
he's out there not embarrassing himself. He doesn't have the worst score on the board right now. So, I mean, as long as he can beat a couple guys out there, I think that'll be a pretty good showing for him.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. You know what's really funny? We used to play. I played for years in the Crosby, which started out at Pebble Beach and then moved to North Carolina. It was the biggest. Yeah, it was the biggest celebrity event that we could play in. It was two-man teams, and there were hundreds of people on the golf course because the celebrities were great. Jack Nicholson came one year, Michael Jordan one year. There were a lot of big-time guys there. And the first year I played in it, my brother Mitchie told me, he had been there the year before, get somebody to put the ball on the tee for you on the first hole because your hand will be shaking. And I went, oh, yeah, sure. Well, let me tell you, when I got up there, my stomach was doing flip-flops. Now, like you said, Steph is a pro athlete. Obviously, he plays in front of big crowds and all that, but this, not golf. And I watched his first tee shot. I watched it, and I'm telling you, he was nervous. He took a deep breath. The nerves involved in doing something like this for him are, it's different than even playing at Tahoe, which he did.
Listen, you could play in front of 30,000 people every night, but go on a golf course with your own thoughts. It's dead quiet. You have people watching your every move because it's only you that they're watching. Like I said, dead silent. You're in your own head at all times. And I dare you to find a tougher competitive spot for to be in. I mean, I go out and play with buddies, and we play, you know, for $5 a nine. And I'll tell you what, if I'm not, you know, in my own head on that first tee box, you know, worried a little bit. And that's with my buddies on a Saturday. You know, that's not even in a professional golf tournament. So Yeah, I mean, when you're out there, dead silent, you're in your own head. That's got to be the toughest shot in sports.
Well, it's all very interesting, and my prediction will be that from this. I saw already the blowback about not televising or streaming this has been huge. I mean, they are going to have to answer for this because people are really upset about it.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that we get all four rounds of the, you know, American Century Championship in Cabo, you know, live every year, all four rounds.
Right.
You can't even get anything in this, and this is an actual professional golf tournament.
Right.
You know, that's pretty sad.
Yeah. And nothing against Mark Mulder and some of the other guys that play, but I don't really care. I mean, I really don't care.
Hey, Steph finished fourth in that, and he looked really good. So, you know.
And he had more fun than anybody because he played with Justin Timberlake. There, I mean, all the shots.
Absolutely.
Was it Aaron Rodgers that he played with, too? That was throwing footballs to him? I mean, he finished fourth, so.
And he finished fourth.
Good for him.
And because of that, his dad had to jump on the lake because he beat him.
Yeah.
That's a fun time, too. Anytime you can beat dad, it's always a good time.
Speaking of Steph, and then we'll move on. His dad, Dale Curry, one of the truly great people on this planet who I've known for a long time, has a charity golf tournament in Charlotte every year that I played in for a long time. And he's a heck of a golfer. And that whole family is a joke. They have everything. And they're the nicest people in the world. All right. Outside of you. Okay. The other thing I want, because I always love talking to you. The other thing I want to talk to you about is Jordan Spieth. And not the golfer. Well, it's the golfer, but not what did he shoot? Did he win? I want to talk to you about how Jordan Spieth has turned into the new Phil Mickelson in terms of press conferences and things he says. It's hysterical. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, it's fantastic. I posted the video of his post-round interview to my Twitter today. I mean, he's using words like, I didn't want Michael to veto me, which is something straight out of Phil and Bones' old playbook. You know, at the Open, you know, he drains that birdie bomb and he tells Michael, you go get it and point to the cup. You know, today he had that shot out of the trees, and Michael just goes, what are you even looking at? And he goes, just take the bag and stand over there and watch. I mean, I tweeted, I said, this guy has turned into, we got little fig jam, you know, growing up before our very eyes. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. As if I didn't think it could get any better with this kid, his legend status grows with every round.
I agree.
And not even on the course. It's everything else he does that he incorporates in his round.
Well, and is it just me or watching? He's always been great in press conferences. He's very open and kind of aware of everything. We all love how he always talks about we did this, and it's always we. But since this Open Championship, he seems a little different to me even from what it was before. There's a certain kind of air of him adding to his, I don't even know how to say it, adding to his legacy,
legend
status already, that it just seems like now he can really go full bore with all this stuff. It's great.
Well, I think what happened was after that whole Masters meltdown, he kind of felt like he had to kind of retreat a little bit and kind of go within himself. And he wasn't really as out there and as vocal as much. And then, of course, you know, you think he's having a meltdown again there at 13, and he manages to come back from that. And that's really the first time in his career in a major that he hasn't, you know, run away with it on a Sunday. And obviously, you had the Masters meltdown. So this time he was in what looked to be meltdown mode, and he was able to compose himself and recover and win. And I think that gave him the self-confidence to know that even when things are going tough, he can right the ship quickly and he can get back into the lead. And, you know, I think that allowed him to kind of open back up, like you said. And you know, if this is how he's going to be now, I think it'll be great for the game, because everyone loves Phil for how open and candid he is and how much he's willing to share in his press conferences. And if we can get another one of that with Phil kind of sailing into the sunset, if we can get another presence like that for the next 20 or 30 years, I don't see how that wouldn't be fantastic for golf.
Yeah, 30
and
years.
Great for us in the media. And great for us in the media. I mean, who doesn't love to be able to cover stuff like that either, you know?
Yeah.
The stories write themselves with guys like Phil and now Jordan.
They do. But, you know, when you say that, you'll be around covering this in 30 years. I won't be. Okay, I'm just saying.
On.
No, well,
hey, we're going to be doing this exact same thing in 30 years we'll be doing on hovercraft. That's all.
Hey, I'll be 97. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I'll be able to say four words an hour if I won't be here. I don't want to be here at 97. All right, you're the greatest. I fully expect by maybe Saturday, I fully expect you to have this whole thing cleared up. All right, get on it.
As soon as I get a phone with you, I'm getting on the horn with EastWeb.com guys.
All right, good.
Now.
All right. Thanks, pal.
All right, so we can talk to you.
See ya.
All right.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Through the magic of Twitter, which everybody that listens to this show knows how I've met most of my golf friends, and is through Twitter, and this is no exception. Our friend Chris Mascaro introduced me to Tom Patry, and in the research that I've done and looking at his Twitter account, it's at Tom, T-O-M-P-A-T-R-I, Patry. This is one of the best. I'm so excited to talk to him. He's a top, one of the best teachers in America, Golf Magazine top 100 teacher, in Florida half the time, calling from Havre de Grace, Maryland, which is one of the cooler names in America. Tom Patry joins us now. Good morning, Tom.
How are you doing, sir? It's a great honor to be with you. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. And stop trying to butter me up right away. It's not a great honor. Just stop. all right, everybody listening, you also should go to tompatry.com. This Twitter account, what you do on your Twitter account is unbelievable. I've watched a bunch of your iPhone lessons, and people send them in to you, and then you go through a lesson with them on video. It's fascinating to me, and I know why you're one of the top teachers in America, because the stuff you do is just amazing. Right from the get-go, you are on it, and these things are amazing, Tom.
Now, do me a favor. Stop trying to butter me up.
Touche. Okay, you got me.
It's been a lot of fun. I actually, there's a technology out there called V1, which people can find the V1 app on the App Store, no problem. And the founder of V1, a guy named Chris Hart, has been a friend of mine for 30 years. And I've been using his software for 30 years, and it's, obviously the technology has evolved immensely in the last 10. But it allows people 24/7, 365 from any place on the planet to, if they have an iPhone or iPad, load the app and send me video, and we have a lesson relationship. Right now I'm teaching about 150 people around the world that I've never met in my life and I never will meet. so it's kind of cool, and then my regular students use it as well.
That statement is incredible, that you're teaching about 150 people from around the world who you've never met. I mean
all kinds of crazy places, from Honolulu to Switzerland to London, England, to whatever you can name. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's
pretty cool.
Amazing. And you've been doing this for a long time. And what started out as let's go to the range and you got a big bucket of balls and you stand there with somebody and give them a lesson, to somebody in Switzerland, going, hey, Tom, I need help in whatever language they speak.
Yeah, it's really, that's really unbelievable. I mean, you've been in the TV world and the media world your whole life. You know how technology works. But for the average guy in Lexington, Kentucky, who doesn't get it, I mean, it's really, really easy to use. It's easy prompts and easy follows, and there's nothing hard about it. I mean, I'm not a techno guy, and it's, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
All right, here's something that I saw on Twitter that is fascinating to me. You talk in one of your tweets about your mentors and people like Ken Venturi, and I mean, just there are a few people you mentioned, but you mentioned one that I have to talk to you about. My idol is Seve. As a matter of fact, my email address is Matt Seve, and I got that when the internet started. So that's how long I've loved Seve. And you mentioned his name in terms of that. Talk to me a little about that,
Matthew. It's not an easy thing for me to talk about because I miss him very much.
But, yeah.
When I was at Westchester Country Club for 11 years as director of instruction in New York, and we hosted the Buick Classic, and I got an opportunity to meet, spend some time with him, and he asked me to, on occasion, to help him watch him. You know, make some swings and give him some advice, and it was certainly truthfully an honor for me. He was always one of my idols. He and Arnie were my two biggest idols growing up as a kid, and we developed a relationship, and it carried on even after he became ill. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call 2 weeks before Seve passed away from Seve, and I realized 30 seconds into the phone call that he was sitting there basically going through his Rolodex, calling people to tell him that, you know, things had kind of turned bad. He didn't say that, but you realize what he was doing.
Yeah.
But things had turned bad, and, you know, 2 weeks later he had passed. A wonderfully misunderstood person. He was so competitive on the golf course and so crazy competitive that people took him the wrong way a lot of times. And off the golf course, he was one of the real sweethearts. He was just a wonderful, wonderful guy, and was extremely kind to me and helpful with me in my career, and I miss him very, very much.
Wow. So do I. That's an amazing story. Just amazing.
Yeah. Cool guy.
Okay, here's another question that I was thinking about talking to you last night, that I was going to speak with you this morning. Now, as an actor, it's hard for me sometimes when I go to the movies to not sit there, to get involved in the movie, because I'll say, wait a minute, that's not the same extra that was there before. Or I look at the stuff because I know so well how they do what they do. Can you sit and watch a golf tournament without, like, every swing that they show going, I don't like his head position there? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can, only because I think there's so many ways to skin a cat. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't know much about acting, although I absolutely love going to the movies and still love going. I'd rather be in the movies than home in front of the TV anytime.
Yeah.
But I can appreciate the fact that there's a lot of ways to get this thing done. I think today we've stereotyped the golf swing and everything's supposed to be perfect, and we have it on video and we make them, you know, almost like robotic, and I kind of actually hate that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Matt, I think that, you know, there's so many great individuals out there. Who would think if you're standing on a range, you're on a public golf course on a range, and a guy came up next to you, you didn't know who he was, and it was Jim Furyk, you'd want to give him two shots aside and claim for his life. Right? I mean, you think I can beat this guy, but here's a guy who's actually one of the great ball strikers of all time. So I guess I'm a little bit old school in the sense that I don't think you have to be or fit into a template to be perfect and play this game. I think there's a lot of ways to get this thing done. And one of the things I try to do in my teaching is take the person in front of me and work with who they are and what they have. And there's a lot of criteria there, the time constraints, their lifestyle, you know, who they're married to, how much, how much time they get to have a club in their hands. I think there's a lot of things to go into giving a golf lesson.
Well, it's so incredible. One of the things we all struggle with, it, but I struggle with it, is that exactly what you're talking about. A lot of times in my head, before I take that club back, I know it's swing thoughts, but I'm thinking about technical things, about my turn or about my spine angle or my, you know, all of that stuff.
But Matt, you know why, right?
Because I suck.
You know, no, it's really you're OCD and you're from New York. I mean, so you know, you can't get away from that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
You're a victim of our environment. In 2017, we think we have to be perfect at everything, and I think this is an imperfect world, and we're playing imperfect games. So, you know, put that baggage away and put it in a file somewhere and get rid of it.
Okay, this is great. I love that thought. All right, before I let you go, Steph Curry, we're going to talk on the show about Steph this week because he got that exemption on the web.com tour, shoot 74 the first day. It's pretty incredible what some of these guys can do that are world-class athletes in other sports, and they love golf so much and take it to the next level.
You know, I think, you know, I've had the privilege in my life of working with a couple guys that are really talented. I mean, Dougie Brown, who played for the Red Wings and won 2 Stanley Cups.
Yep.
You know, I can go on. Bernie Nichols, who played for the Rangers and played alongside Gretzky in L.A. I mean, a lot of good hockey players are good golfers. But You know, people don't realize how hard it is to play competitive tournament golf. And Steph Curry was out there yesterday and shoot 74. And I know that doesn't, you know, light a lot of people's fires. That's pretty admirable to go out there in a world that he is not familiar with, really. As good an athlete as he is, there's so many moving parts in the golf swing, and it's a different type of pressure. And I mean, that's a hell of a round of golf.
Yeah.
These guys are so talented. These athletes today are so talented and so hand-eye gifted. I mean, that's really pretty cool, if you ask me.
Yeah, it was fantastic. All right, I know you're on your way to a lesson, and this has truly been one of the more enjoyable talks that I've had. And I hope someday I can get up to New York or down to Florida or Maryland or wherever you are and say hello to you and sit and talk with you. You're great. And thanks so much for joining us, Tom.
Yeah, I'll join you anytime you will have me. I appreciate you having me on. Thank
okay.
You,
we'll talk to you soon. Well, that was pretty incredible. Tom Patry, thank you so much for joining me. This guy's a big deal, folks, a really big deal. Go to TomPatry.com or follow him on Twitter at Tom Patry, P-A-T-R-I, and just look at some of those iPhone videos that we were talking about. It's an incredible thought that you can get a lesson from one of the top teachers in America with your iPhone, and when you watch them, you'll know what I'm talking about. They're so specific and detailed, and just the tips that he gives people of things to work on and what he's trying to achieve with your particular swing. As he said, 150 people around Switzerland, for goodness sake. There's some Swiss guy over there with an iPhone, and now he's working with Tom. It's fantastic. Thanks so much to him for joining us. My buddy Dan Houser, check back in. I love talking to Dan, and, of course, the great Perry French. Okay, Sunday, big day. Firestone, big day. And next week, Quail Hollow, PGA week. Can Jordan complete the career Grand Slam right after he wins his third major? We'll find out. Thanks to French Lick Resort, Edwin Watts, and, of course, Lexington Parks and Rec. They're such great partners. I'm so appreciative. All right, we'll see you all next Sunday. Have a great day. This is Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.